I told you. I told you, win or lose, we were getting crumble cookies. The dynasty is on.
Brew, huh?
Air delicious.
He's literally been eating them for the last 2 minutes.
That's not true.
We're on the air.
I'm loving these.
People like when we
chocolate
do this.
Chip.
No,
and
they
chocolate.
Don't. No one likes hearing people talk with their mouths full.
You know what? The podcast. That might be a TV show. It makes for a good visual. First thing first.
True, you do have a point.
Yeah, I told
Nick,
you.
Nick, you got to get one of these, man. Stop.
During a break.
Today, UConn basketball. Never a doubt. Season continues.
How dare you?
This time it's for me.
How dare you?
You franchised it. Meanwhile, Lakers-Warriors tonight, the return of an epic rivalry and an epic segment.
Must win.
Must win. Good job, bro. And finally, oh, it's just a delightful sunny day in New York City. So it's apropos that we deliver yet another installment of the friendliest segment in all of sports television, King of the Hill, alongside a delicious Chris Broussard. I'm Kevin Wilds from Connecticut. Gotcha. Nick, did you enjoy last night's game?
Wilds, you literally have chocolate on your lips now. And now you didn't think this through. Let roll the video and let Wilds clean his face.
And then I got to talk.
Not great.
They are good.
They are delicious. Thank you, Dusty.
This is why we keep getting shut out of the Emmy noms.
I know, but wait till the Gourmand Awards come. We start with another UConn victory. And I apologize to the audience, not only for having several cookies in my mouth, but I said we'd win by 12 and we won by 15. UConn wraps up back-to-back championships with the largest margin of victory in tournament history. Here's the list. This year's Husky squad, Antoine's 96 Kentucky squad.
Which was an unbelievable team.
And Novasville 2016 squad, who are in fourth in the Eastern Conference and play the Bulls tonight. Nick, are you surprised UConn won so easily?
Well, listen, I did pick Purdue, and it was, you know, it was funny because I went out on a limb, so to speak, and said I thought Edie was going to have 38 points. I think I
thought you said 37.
No, I think I said 38 and 18.
Oh, okay.
And he ended up with 37 and 10. And that's almost why UConn won.
Mm-hmm.
UConn had a really smart game plan, which was we can survive Zach Edey getting 40.
Right.
And they would have survived Zach Edey getting 40 as long as Purdue.
Or 50.
Which is, well, 50, I don't know. I guess matter. 50 they would have, you know, if we think it would have stayed the same. Purdue was a 40% three-point shooting team this year. And I don't want to make this about what the losers didn't do, but I think UConn was strategic in this. We can show you Purdue on the season, which was an excellent team, but if they made at least six threes, they were basically unbeatable.
Yep.
And when they didn't, they were, you know, around a 500 team. For the record, it's what Tennessee tried to do in the Elite Eight game. In the Elite Eight game, they did the same thing. We're going to single cover Edie, let him eat. He had 40 and 20 in that game. There you go. But instead of hitting just one three, Purdue in that game hit three, and those two extra threes, the three extra points for Edie, that was enough, really, to turn what could have been a loss into a win. And so UConn had a smart game plan, and I have to give Hurley credit. As much as he irritates me.
Yeah, he irritate you?
He's shoving his own player during the live play.
It's called coaching.
That's not coaching.
Yeah.
That's against the rules.
My goodness.
It's literally against the rules, Brew. And he's yelling at Zach Edey. That's not coaching. But unlike, you know, the Nick Sirianni types, he wins the biggest games. And so I'll give him credit. And UConn is also, it was weird because before the show, we were talking about UConn historically, and you just showed the margin of victory. And do I think they match up with the greatest teams in basketball history? No, because the sport has changed.
Yeah.
But do I think they were as dominant in this run as any of the greatest teams ever were? That's undeniable.
It's undeniable.
And so they could send so many people at you. And the fact that Edie could have 37 points, even though he quit on the team, evidently, which is
interesting. We'll get to
that.
Was wildly impressive, and UConn's a deserving champion, and you are correct, Wiles. You called it all year long.
Never doubt.
You did call it, Wiles.
Really
good job.
I called it, too.
I think it's the only thing in my bracket that was right.
You didn't have any bass in your voice.
I had plenty of bass. Ten toes were down the whole nine yards.
Sorry.
And I still marvel at Nick, the type of coaches you hate. That's how I picture you being, a coach that's talking mess and wild and all that. Nick Sirianni,
that's probably right.
Danny Hurley.
I mean, that is probably
no, that's what I, that just cracks me up about
that
this.
That is probably right.
But you mentioned it. Remember yesterday I said the key for Purdue was if Edie could go off inside and you could complement it with three-point shooting. And obviously UConn took it away. They didn't only take away. It's not just that they only made one. They only attempted seven.
It's insane.
And that, with this graphic, and credit to Dusty who helped me get this graphic. Through tears, he put this together.
If there's some errors today, guys, just know that our statistician could barely see.
That's the fewest threes attempted in 9 years.
Yeah. You gotta shoot some threes, Dust.
So the defense was tremendous, and that leads to the execution. And I was talking to an NBA scout today on my way into the studio.
Oh, wow.
And he said he was raving about Danny Hurley and saying how he's been to their practices. And he has said, and talking to even other people in the NBA, he said this, none of them, he was with a GM from the NBA. And the GM was like, they were both marveling. Have you ever seen a coach practice a team this hard? And it wasn't just running a bunch of suicides. It was the intensity, the drill, like right away. We done one drill, we're on to the next. Right, the intensity. Mm-hmm. No water breaks, you know, for a long time.
Old school.
And stuff like that. But you see it in the way they play. Like their execution on both ends of the floor. Look. It doesn't take a genius to say, you know what? We can live with Edie giving us 35 to 40. Let's just shut everybody down. But guess what? Other teams can't do it. They don't execute. It's natural for other players to kind of start, you know, cheating on the big when he's killing you. And they didn't do it because they execute. And that's a credit to Danny Hurley. So it's not a surprise. We all pretty much expected it. I know even though you picked Purdue, you kind of were like,
it was more heart than
head. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
it's
not a surprise. Congratulations to UConn. Great 2-year run. And congratulations to you, Kevin.
We nailed it. Thank you. Thank you very much. One thing about Danny Hurley. UConn's been great at defending the three all year. So they held opponents to 27% from three, only five makes a game. So even the best teams were only hitting five. So the fact that Dusty decided to make one three-pointer the whole night, that's not going to work. So now we come to the part where I just gloat a little bit. I feel a little bit awkward.
No, go ahead. You
well, I
it.
Kind of feel a little J. Cole-ish because I was going to take a lot of shots at North Carolina and Duke and Kentucky who just lost their coach. Mm-hmm. Like, I just want to say I am back in a big way.
You are back.
Yeah, because my whole life, you know, I was a fan of all the downtrodden teams, you know, the Carson the Bambino and the Red Sox and the Patriots were laughing stock. And then all of a sudden the Red Sox started to win turn of the century. And now we're back to not being very good. Patriots dynasty. Yeah. And now we're, you know, back to water has found its level. But the UConn Huskies just keep delivering. In the last 25 years, we have six championships. Like, think about how great you feel as a Kansas City Chiefs fan, and then double it. That's how I feel.
Well, I'll be pretty bummed right out now if they only get three more in the next 19 years.
Oh, it's upsetting.
I'm just telling you.
You think the Chiefs are going to have more than six championships in the next one to the clock?
Next 20 years. Yeah,
six.
The clock started 5 years ago. So, yeah, I do. But but that graphic is noteworthy. Like, we kind of blew past it. Yeah. I don't know if we can put it back on the screen. I mean, that graphic is unbelievable. And it is such an unlikely dynasty, and I don't think it is a dynasty yet, for the record. I don't think back-to-back alone.
How much do we need to win?
Well, so...
Yeah, what is it? Who's been a dynasty then in college basketball outside of John Wooden?
Right. I don't know that... I mean, I'd have to
to be relative to the sport, you know what I mean? Like,
Did you think Florida with Joe Kim knowing Al Horford was a dynasty? I didn't.
No. But this run.
It's six.
Right, but so that's,
it's four in the last 15
no,
years.
No, but so that's what I was actually leading to. So I don't know what the right word is, and I don't want to have a dynasty debate, really. But that's what makes it so unique, is because college sports, you don't have the through line of a great player like you do in pro sports. So you almost always have the through line of a great coach. But you don't here.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm not saying Dan Hurley's not a great coach. He clearly is.
It's three coaches.
But it's three coaches who have won it.
Yeah.
You don't even have consistent dominance the way that the other, you know, great college basketball programs have while they were winning titles. UConn has missed the tournament. UConn won during this run multiple times. Mm-hmm. UConn, one of the years they won the championship, was almost a bubble team that ended up getting hot and winning the title. It is just such a unique – it is – unique and unprecedented in a way. There's nothing like this on the women's side, obviously. The women's teams that have racked up multiple championships are consistently dominant. And there's nothing like this, in my opinion, on the men's side either, where you win multiple titles across multiple coaches, where it's not like you have been just dominant year in, year out with maybe just one down year. It's just unlike anything.
I would say right now you have to give them the credit. They're the king of college basketball.
That part I agree with.
Not obviously.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Men.
Like growing up, Duke was up here and Kentucky was up here. Duke has five championships total.
Yes, but that's.
But those feel like so big. I'm just trying to be like, than Duke.
I think it might be because it was Krzyzewski.
No, but here's the other reason.
It was one guy.
I guess.
But it was also because Duke.
You're right, it feels bigger.
But Duke also had a stretch, like, and we'll get into this more later. All of the teams ahead of them in your head about Blue Bloods or whatever, they all have had multiple stretches of 3, 4, 5 years in a row in the Final Four. UConn, even in this run, this is the longest. Back-to-back Final Fours is the longest. Like Duke, from the late 80s, early 90s, 5 straight Final Fours they were there. I think 3 straight title games they were there. Right. So that's one of the reasons, you know what I mean, where it has felt like they were inevitable. Even Kentucky, during this lean time, right when Cal got there, it was like 6 of 8 years, Elite Eight every year, Final Four a bunch. That's why this is so unique to me. Is because it's like UConn's not in the tournament. UConn's out in round one. UConn's won the title again. And every time they're in the Final Four, they win the title. That's the other 6-0 weird.
6-0 in the championship game. Yeah. And they take a backseat to no one, right?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Yeah. Like LeVar Ball.
Just being honest.
Never lost.
And 7 Final Fours total and 6 championships total is bananas.
Yeah.
It should never happen, and it happened. So credit to you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate
that.
All right, continuing on with this story. Sorry, I changed up. I got so excited. I lost my script.
Oh, we got our third.
Go to Nick first so I can eat a cookie.
Back-to-back player of the year, Zach Edey, goes for 37 and 10. But Draymond said he saw something in his game, and it wasn't great. Job well done, 35. You did your job tonight. It was him that made Edey quit with about 19 minutes to go in the second half. There was a turnover, and I saw Edey's body language walking back, and he was done. Rewatch the game from that point on. Hashtag free game from Draymond. Some clarifications here about the free game.
Yeah.
You know, you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Number 35, Samson Johnson, who didn't check in until 15:54. So about, 3 minutes off there. Then Edey had this turnover. We think this is what Draymond is referring to. And then, Nick, what was your take on Draymond's observation?
We all make mistakes, right? And we all have bad takes, some more than others. I happen to believe it is far more important to be totally buttoned up on your details and facts. There's a direct line with how tight and cogent your case needs to be with how critical the accusation is.
Yes.
If you want to give a take like, you know what, that guy's awesome. He just scored the most points of anyone in the championship game in the last 30 years. And it's actually like, well, actually 3 guys have scored more. Yeah. I'm not going to kill you for it. It's like you're trying to be celebratory, whatever. If you say, this guy quit, which I think is the harshest accusation you can level against an athlete, let's try to just get basic facts right. Like, The player that I think made him quit, was he in or not in the game?
Yeah.
The player that I'm saying made him quit, did he play 5 total minutes and commit 5 total fouls? Yes, he did. Am I certain that's actually what was happening? Did this guy quit, or is this a 7'4", 300-pound man who sat none? Who played the entire game and maybe was exhausted while all, do I think there were moments when he was discouraged? Absolutely. I thought there were moments when Caitlin Clark was discouraged in Sunday night when she had a couple full court outlet passes that led to missed layups, and you could kind of read it for a moment. Do I think that's fair? No. Do I also think this, and this is where I am going to level very pointed criticism, but my facts are pretty tight on this.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think there's an ulterior motive for Draymond Green to try to tell everyone, hey guys, the person whose box score might not look that good, and maybe you didn't notice, he actually turned the game around. What type of NBA player could that be congratulatory to? Could that?
Think he was actually thinking
I'm telling you this. If all of a sudden there's a big talk show everyone's watching, and I'm like, hey, I don't know if you guys noticed the kind of abrasive, oddly pitched guy making those takes, but he really is the tie that binds, there might be a reason for it. And so I think this is unfair and inaccurate, which is the worst combination.
I agree with that. I don't agree with you saying Draymond did it to say, oh, the little role player, don't underestimate us role players.
Maybe it's subconscious.
Now, maybe because that's the type of player he is, he did want to point out or notice, hey, most people think this guy, he only played 5 minutes. He fouled out in 5 minutes. He didn't do much. That's why he said you did your job. Yeah. So that maybe that's right, but I don't think it was a conscious effort to do that. But, yeah, first of all, I agree. When you say somebody quit, that is the worst thing you can say about an athlete.
All right.
And so you better know for a fact that he quit before you say he quit. And I don't think Edie quit because he only had 21 points, 5 rebounds on 8 of 13 shooting in the second half.
All right. Can I just make a counterpoint now? I have to defend Draymond.
How?
Well, yeah, I will. Draymond, I think, has a very unique and special analysis of the game within the game. And he targeted Jaylen Brown in that finals game. I think it was game 2 when he stepped over him.
Sure.
And said, that's when I knew we had them.
Okay.
So, and he said, and from the time that I've spent watching games with NBA players when I was working in the NBA, it seems like the guys who have played at the highest level can sense little things.
Intuitively,
like they let go of the rope.
Over LeBron in the 2016 finals.
He sees something.
No, I agree with that.
Letting go of the rope. No, that's it. Like I knew the game was lost.
They were already down big. They were down like 10 at that point.
Right. Here's the problem.
Quitting is the word you don't like.
Quitting, and I think it is. I obviously didn't play the game at the highest level. I agree with you that this is why there is real value in having people who've been in those moments who can see things
that's
maybe the layperson can't. I understand all of that. I just think he's wrong.
Well,
that I think
it's cold. Like again,
and it's cold.
You say somebody quit, you got to know what you got to know for a fact. Yeah, I talked to some players in the locker room. They said Edie gave up on that. I've seen it happen.
You don't need to have bruised New York Times level, like multi sources to it, because it's Twitter. I'm not saying you're wrong. If that's not your own standard, let's get time score situation.
Well, I think that's fair.
Let's not say it happened in a moment that literally it couldn't have.
Right.
Because the player I'm talking about was not in the game. Let's start there.
That's true. That's a lesson for Draymond. Constructive criticism. If you're going to be critical.
From the oldest
of old media. He's talking about, 15
minutes.
He's
not the oldest of old
media. It was like 4 minutes later than what he was. Yeah, I'm not that old.
He's not?
No, not that old at all. Especially with this diet that we're consuming.
Yeah, this is going to make me older.
Okay, the other big man, Donovan Klingon, goes for 11 and 5 rebounds. Both he and Edie were named to the all-tournament team. Brew, who do you like more as a pro?
Look, I kind of feel for Zach Edie because, 15 years ago, this was a game you would like people be raving about Zach Edey right now.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the level of the great centers, the great back-to-the-basket centers, Olajuwon, Alcindor, Kareem,
did
all that.
Did you hear, by the way, sorry to interrupt, did you hear what they said? This is the first national championship between 2 7-footers since? Did you hear that?
Akeem and Ewing?
Yeah.
Well, I saw
that. I was like, wow. Cool. Well, it's a little bit of a different.
Ewing. You could even Edey just playing. Watch the highlights they showed of Akeem and Ewing and how much faster they were moving than these
a little
two.
Different.
But still, Edey has some back to the basket skills, some. And again, the way the game was played back then, he would have been a guy that would have been in the running for the top pick, if not the top pick years ago. Today, who's the better prospect? Neither one's a star.
I mean,
neither one's a star. The game, and I talked to some scouts about this.
Man, you're doing a lot of work.
No, I still talk to guys around the league. His problem, once you put him in the game, Edey, the other coach is going to put a smaller guy in there who takes him out to the perimeter. So, or they're going to run pick and pop, make him switch out onto a perimeter guy, and they're going to drain jump shots all over him. Now, I think both are role players. It's interesting because the mock drafts, the one I looked at on Sports Illustrated, had Klingon going 6th to, I think, Toronto, and Edey going 22nd to the Knicks. Now, some have Edey in the lottery. All right, so they're all over the board. Yeah. But I think both are role players. I think Klingon is the better prospect.
See, I don't.
Because he has the athleticism. Not that he's greatly athletic, but he can – I could see him developing like a perimeter jump shot. I could see him guarding out more on the perimeter than Edey. I think Edey has a place.
I do too.
But I think Klingon has a place too. And they're both going to be role players, but he could be in a rotation because he can get out on the floor and guard, at least theoretically.
So go ahead, Wiles. Throw the bomb out because then I'm going to answer it.
Okay. Yesterday we had to do a story. We didn't have to do it. Like me and my arm being twisted. We did Bronny's future in the NBA.
Yeah.
Bronny's averaging 5 points a game in like 3-2.
Yeah.
We just saw Edey take his team to the national championship game, have a largely dominant performance, be back-to-back player of the year.
Yeah.
And Bronny's got this whole system that's going to get him to be serviceable. That same system can't take the player of the year.
His name was Zach James.
And turn him into an all-star.
Wait, just a little bit of development. Hubs, give us an 60 seconds.
Yeah. Wait, you gonna make?
I don't know. We got a full on.
Hold on, Wild or Brew. You're falling for a.
It's not a trap.
A logical trap.
No,
it is.
It's not.
Hey, Wild, is Zach Edey going to be a first round pick?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. The answer question is yes. He's going to get exactly what you want him to get. So a team's going to invest a guaranteed contract into him.
Okay, good. I hope
exactly.
So.
We're all saying he's going to be a first-round pick. And none of us said that Bronny is going to come into the NBA and be a difference maker necessarily ever. The question where I think people get frustrated is, this guy's the player of the year, and you're saying at best he's an NBA role player. And the answer to that question is, yeah, maybe. But
My answer is yes.
Yes.
Because we've seen it happen.
Correct.
And 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago, Luke Garza? 3 years ago at Iowa. Best player in the country. 6'11", doing what Zach Edey did. And now he's bouncing for, he's with Minnesota on the bench.
By the way, can I throw up the, but I am more optimistic about Edey now than I was at the beginning of the tournament. Oh, I have been impressed by it. I actually like him more than Klingon as a prospect, even though Klingon is going to go higher, because I don't think Klingon's going to be great at anything. I think Edey could be great at a couple things offensively. And KOC put this in his Ringer draft guide, and it made me think about teams that could fit him. I'm endlessly fascinated by the possibility of putting Edey next to a rim protector like Bam. Edey provides the beef inside. Adebayo provides the two-way versatility.
Sure.
So the other team I thought of was San Antonio.
So that three. I think
that to
KOC
me is like the.
Oh, he has Klingon at three.
Yeah,
to San Antonio.
No, I'm talking about for Edey. Okay. Three is too high, obviously. Right. But if you have Wimby stretching the court, if you have Wimby and Edey on the court at the same time, it's hard to be like, we're going to go small and kill you, because you can have one, you know, Edey can stay near the basket, and offensively, when the Spurs have the ball, you're going to be so small if you have regular-sized NBA guys. I think with the right team, what you need is a Chet type or Wimby or Bam, a five who can guard the perimeter while he drops back.
But
I think he could have a place.
But you still can have perimeter players that he's guarding that can drain jump shots over. And he's not a phenomenal shot blocker.
No.
It's not like Rudy Gobert.
Not at all.
You know,
no, so. I think his impact will be on the offensive end. in the NBA. I think they're both role players. I think Edie's probably
I think they're
better.
Both role players, yeah. Bottom line.
I thought that was a good segment. I'm going to eat some cookies in the break.
I am, too. I can't wait. Go to break. Get the break, Wild. Hurry up.
Lakers Warriors. I didn't even have that one over there.
Rocker.
Welcome back to a delicious show. Warriors Lakers tonight. Epic rivalry. Some wise people think the Lakers still have a chance to make some noise in the playoffs. Not so much for the Warriors. You don't really have a lot of Warriors believers. But Steve Kerr says, hold on, we can be a special team.
The coach believes in
them? Yeah.
Wow.
Are you a better team than last season?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're definitely a better team. Better two-way basketball, better, I think, connection, better chemistry. There's a much better vibe with this team. So I still believe firmly that we can do something special.
No players have been assaulted. Nick, are you buying this?
No. So let's set the lowest bar for special possible. Win a round. Win one round.
That's not special.
Right. That's why I'm setting low, and they can't do that.
Because you don't think they can win one round?
I bet I can prove it to you in 30 seconds. In order to win one round, they are going to have to first win back-to-back elimination games, likely both on the road. Then they will be playing either Denver, Minnesota, or Oklahoma City in round one, no matter what, right? Because they're going to be the one, two, three, no matter what, in some order. So how have they done against those three teams this year? Can we show it to America? Because the answer is no. No. No, they can't. So that's who they're going to play in round one if they get through two elimination games. So they have to win 6 of 9, you know, including 4 of 7 against one of those teams. And part of the reason, by the way, is Curry seems to, for the first time in his career, be out of gas. Steph, before the All-Star break, 28 a game, 46-42 splits on more than 33 minutes per game. Mm-hmm. Just almost vintage Steph. Steph, since the All-Star break, 23 a game. On 41-36 splits, despite playing less than 31 minutes a game, you'd think the point total might not be up, the efficiency would be up. And, Brew, I think one of the reasons is the NBA, shortly before the All-Star games, you know, stopped making defense illegal, started letting people play more physical, and Steph's one of the guys who, unfortunately, this year, it seems to have affected. So, no. The only reason to believe in the Warriors is Steph is an all-time legend. And he's just not playing like one right now. And so, no, I don't.
Well, I agree. They can't do anything special. All right? They're not going to win the West. There's no way they're winning the West. Okay? But I disagree with Nick in that. I think they could win a round. Now, I think if they play the Lakers in the play-in, I'm giving the Lakers 70% chance of winning that game.
Okay.
Now, the Warriors have beaten them 2 out of 3 this year.
Would it change if they won tonight?
It's maybe it would change at least the percentage a little bit. It still might favor the Lakers.
And it would also, well, if the Warriors won,
get home court
advantage.
That's
what I was going to say. If the Warriors won
that's
tonight, they would probably
And you don't want to face the Warriors with Steph, and Klay's been shooting well. Steph's not been playing as well. Klay's been playing better. You don't want to face them in a one-and-done situation. Even if the Lakers are a better team, that's a dangerous situation to be in. So, I think if they can get through the play-in, they could win a round because Oklahoma City, same thing with the Lakers. I know the Lakers have dominated them this year, but they're inexperienced. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure I would pick them to beat the Warriors in that situation. It was like Sacramento last year. The Warriors' experience, even though they were bad on the road all year, their experience enabled them to win that series. And here's the other thing, Nick. You've talked about how well the Lakers have played over the last second half of the season. Guess who's got a better – I don't think we have a graphic. But the Warriors have the 4th best record in the West since January 28th. All right? That's at 24-11, and it's better than the Lakers. All right? And they're only a game and a half behind the team with the best record during that stretch, which is Dallas. So that's encouraging. If Steve Kerr's overstating it, they can't win the West. But even with Steph not playing as well, because Kuminga has stepped up and played better, Klay is now playing better. Obviously, they're good when Draymond's there. But the young role players, Podzimski and Moody and Gary Payton II, like, they're all playing fairly well in their roles. And Trayce Jackson-Davis has given them a little bit of size. So I don't – they can't win the West. But could they – the ceiling's the second round.
So I,
and I think it's possible they could
so
get
So I don't think they're going to get to the playoffs. And if they get to the playoffs, they're going to be bounced in round one. And again, I don't even think they're going to necessarily have to play the Lakers. But, we'll see how the week shakes out. One thing you said that I disagree with you on, I don't think last year against Sacramento it was an experience thing that all of a sudden changed it. The Warriors stunk on the road all year.
Yep.
And then they lost the first two road games to Sacramento.
All right.
And then game five, the Warriors won right after Sacramento's best player broke his finger. And then they Warriors lost at home in game six. What
and then
happened?
Won game seven.
Because Steph Curry had 50 points. Well, that's the point I'm making.
A little bit to do with experience, though.
Right. Well, I think it's more so because their all-time great player had one of his all-time great games.
And is he incapable of doing that?
He has looked... Not only has he looked like he is a little out of gas mentally and physically, Steve Kerr told us. Kerr a week ago said, well, you want me to play him 32-plus minutes? He's been carrying this franchise for 15 years. Like, we can't. And so, to me, there's a lot of signals that Steph doesn't, that at least for the next couple weeks, not for the rest of his career, for the rest of this season, that Steph might not have that extra year to get to. And
tonight
I think
is huge, and we'll talk about that later, but it's huge.
Okay, quickly, Klay joined Draymond's podcast and talked about his upcoming free agency. Now, before you play the sound, I want to note that an article from Tim Kawakami in The Athletic says Orlando is poised to offer Klay, quote, a ton of money, and Joe Lacob of the Warriors wants to get out of the luxury tax. So that's the backstory. Here's Klay.
And when it comes to free agency in July, I just got to keep that in mind, like, yes, I want to re-sign with the Doves, but I also have to prioritize my mental health and, lay out what is important to me at this point in my career.
What's your read on that?
Yeah, I expect this to be the end of it. I think the last game of Steph, Klay, and Draymond as teammates is going to happen in the next 10 days, you know.
Jeez, that kind of made me sad the way you said it.
And if not in the next 10 days, in the next 20 days, you know what I mean? Whenever their season ends, Klay would have to, it would appear, have to take less money to stay with the Warriors. So why would you do that? If a chance to win a championship, they don't have it. Because it's fun, doesn't seem like it. So it's just like I don't know. Like, the when you're doing the pros and cons list, the only pros is, like, you know, I'd be a Warrior for life. But when he says I've got to, you know.
When he says mental health, that's interesting.
This hasn't been fun. I'm not that happy. And maybe I feel like I need a fresh start, plus probably make more money. So
yeah, look, it depends on how they do, and that's why tonight is important, and it depends on how they do in the playoffs or play-in. If they get bounced, as we would expect, by the Lakers in the first play-in game, then I think the team is broken up. And I think, Klay, there are a lot of suitors. Orlando is interested in him. He's obviously a veteran with championship pedigree, and they need three-point shooting. There are a lot of teams I think Klay would fit in well on. Now, I don't know who's going to pay him huge money, but any teams that are close – and need three-point shooting and some experience?
Why wouldn't you be interested in
Klay Thompson?
Wiles, I'll tell you right now, for the right amount of money, if I were the Spurs, I would call him immediately.
Yeah.
Be like, we're trying to build.
I don't know if I – I mean, I like him in some other places. The Spurs aren't winning anything huge next year.
But he could
Philadelphia?
Be a
mentor.
Can't be landlocked, though. He's got the boat.
San Antonio's the Riverwalk, buddy.
You can't drive Klay's boat. Down to Miami, check in on Tua. Burrow, Herbert, and Jalen Hurts all got contract extensions. Now it's Tua's time, right? Either way, he's excited about it. Take a listen.
How have negotiations been with the Dolphins? I know it's a big ongoing topic.
Yeah, I mean, they've been good. Right now, I'm letting my agent handle that. I'm focused on my family. I'm focused on continuing to better myself, better my craft. And, yeah, we'll... we'll talk more about that when that time comes. But for now, exciting times ahead. That's for sure.
Okay. I'm not sure what that meant, to be 100% honest with you, Brew.
I like his new haircut.
Okay.
Hairdo.
Does he deserve a monster payday?
No.
Oh.
No. I'm so, first, you've been healthy, and I like Tua, but you've been healthy 1 out of 4 seasons. I need to see you be healthy again. That's the first thing.
Okay.
So I need 16, 17 games this year. All right, no health concerns. Secondly, and I made a big deal out of it this season, but it was true. All right? They couldn't beat anybody that wasn't a tomato can. They were 1-6 against playoff teams, and Tua's performance was noticeably, markedly bad against playoff teams. Look at, I mean, he goes to 230 yards a game, 8 touchdowns, 7 picks. The passer rating plummets. All right? And then on top of that, when it's cold outside, which it often is in the playoffs, this 46 at 46 degrees isn't even freezing.
45, I'm not even wearing a coat.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You should be able to play in 45 to 46 degree weather. They're 0-6, and again, look at his performance. 6 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. Wilds, you know this as a Patriots fan. In the playoffs, is it cold sometimes?
Yes, it's very cold.
Don't get soft on me. It's cold. You got to be able to win in cold weather.
Can I? All right, listen.
Well, they all won't be at home.
Wilds has this weird saying. He calls himself the mayor of Fair, and therefore he feels like there are certain guys who just based on, man, how would you feel about them if these games weren't on TV? Like, those guys we should be nicer to. Like, if it was just the raw numbers and there was no opinion, you couldn't watch them. You just had to base it off the raw
numbers.
You're
an eye test guy now? And I'm the numerical guy?
No.
We traded seats.
Your entire Tua, you have become quite the Tua defender, and it is because you're like, what more do you want him to do? He led the league in this. He led the league in that.
We're like, I got to see him be healthy. He's like, all right, I played every game. And I didn't get any concussions.
So let me, I can show you a quick chart real quick. Because here's the thing. I'm not even worried about the health. So already stars, we got 5. Next group, potentials or star trajectory. Herbert, Stroud, and the Prince. I don't want to argue about the
Stafford.
Prince. It's my list.
Okay.
All right, potential stars.
Stafford,
no, this will make sense in a moment. Okay. Potential stars. Caleb.
Caleb?
And
what? What? Wait.
Hold on.
This
it's
list.
Not,
come on.
I object.
Wait a second, guys.
My
the
God.
Important part is this group right here.
The Prince.
Solid starters. And here is the point. Those 9 guys at the bottom, you can win with as long as you're not paying them like they're stars.
Well, Dak?
Yeah.
They win. I mean.
But now the Cowboys are deciding whether or not they want to actually continue paying him like he's a star.
Golf?
Tua, yeah. Yeah, he's not paid like a star.
Right now he's not.
If you pay Tua like he's a star, you are putting a massive hard ceiling on the team. And
I've never hated a graphic more in the
history of this show. The graphic was kind of
really.
That was kind of crazy.
It's one of the worst.
It was a bad graphic.
Really, Wilds, are you a quarterback? You're a quarterback wins guy.
I certainly like wins. That's why we play the game.
Okay, so your whole issue with that graphic, I would imagine, is where the Prince was. He has more.
I didn't like where the Prince was.
Uh-huh.
I didn't like where Richardson was.
Caleb,
I saw him play.
Those are potential stars.
We'll see.
Potential.
Jalen Hurts
went to the Super Bowl.
Jalen Hurts.
Jared Goff's gone to the Super Bowl.
Okay,
you wanted Dak to win MVP.
Purdy took Mahomes to overtime in the Super Bowl.
They're solid starters, right? They were able.
Purdy
to,
at least
those
should be
guys
at the very
were
least
able
potential
to, right,
star.
They were the able
least.
To go to the Super
it's
Bowl.
It's a horrendous
because
draft.
They were not making any money and they had great teams. And now
Purdy delivered, and so did Jalen.
Right, he did. And with his great team, and I think now that Jalen's been paid like he's a star, there's a ceiling on the team. You guys were right. Dak got paid like a star. There's a ceiling on the team. Goff is not paid like a star. We'll see on Purdy. If you pay Tua like he's a star, there will be a ceiling on the team. You actually agree with me.
Well,
you're mad
see
I
what
put
he
Anthony Richardson
no,
on
it's
this.
An, it's
I'm
an
just
odd graphic.
See.
It's an odd
graphic.
It's my own list.
I buy the idea that you can either pay the wide receivers or the quarterback. You pay the quarterback, you can't pay, you know.
Right.
I buy
and
that.
Tua needs the stars. So
well,
he's
see
not
what he
one.
Does. And he's got to win in cold weather, too.
Right. All these things.
Coming up in 9 short minutes, well, it's the happiest and sunniest and the most butterfly-iest segment in all of sports, King of the Hill. It's going to be excellent. But right now, it's time for the most confusing segment in all of sports, Must Win. It's a little bit literal, a little bit vibey, if you know what I'm saying. We start at Celtics-Bucks. Bucks have lost 4 in a row and 6 of their last 7. Now, under Doc, all of a sudden, they're under 500, and the second seed is no longer a sure thing. Nick, we will start with you.
Yeah.
Hosting the Celtics.
This is his team, too.
I must win.
At first glance, sure.
Oh, don't do this again.
But as it turns out, you made such a compelling case yesterday, Wilds. Not only is this not a must win, it's actually a can't lose. If you beat Boston, guess what? You beat Boston. Mm-hmm. You beat the team most likely that you would face in the conference finals. And if you lose, you have achieved your objective of moving out of the two line in the Sixers' sights, and you can get ready to play the Cavs or the Pacers in round one.
Here's the problem with your theory.
What?
The Pacers have owned them.
Well, yeah.
The Pacers
the Cavs
beat them 4 out of 5 times.
Right, but the Cavs are going to end up being the 6th seed because they are dropping like a rock.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, so the Pacers on them, it's a must win for the Bucks.
Oh.
Because if you do win, I get it with your standings thing. But if you do win, what in the world better to how to erase the stench of losing 6 of your last 7 than to go ahead and beat Boston? In fact, because of that, if I'm the Celtics, I consider sitting my stars.
Oh, my goodness.
So you don't give them the satisfaction of beating our good team. So now they can't feel good about themselves. And if we beat you without Jason and Jalen, oh, my.
Doc, take my advice because you could use it. Play your guys as hard as they can for the first 42 minutes to prove you can beat Boston, and then sit everyone the second half of the fourth quarter to just make sure Boston gets
NBA, it's fantastic. Both teams kind of trying to lose. Warriors at Lakers, 9 and 10 spots in the West, but both trying to climb out. Lakers show favored since the Lakers last lost to the Dubs. They've been one of the best teams in the league, as Nick has reminded me ad nauseum.
You think the Suns, the Timberwolves, the Thunder, most of the West.
I'm not done with my script.
Sorry.
Granted, they played several East Coast tomato games.
Sorry.
Is this a double must win?
No, it's not a must win for the Warriors at all. Because the Warriors can't. The Warriors are going to be in the 9-10 game either way. Like, the Rockets
but
are dead.
But wouldn't you want home court advantage in that game?
I understand that. This is a must win for the Lakers. Because the Lakers have real stakes here. If they win their final 3 games, they won't end up in the 9-10 game. That's not a guarantee, but it overwhelming likely because of who plays who. We can show you the graph tomorrow. So I think it's a must win for the Lakers. I do not think it's a must win for the Warriors.
Must win for both. It is the double must win because, I mean, the Warriors are playing for just as much as the Lakers. If the Warriors win this game, they're tied in the loss column. Yeah. So the Warriors would have the tiebreaker. And all the tiebreakers are very close. And they would have head-to-head, so it wouldn't even go to the other tiebreakers. But, yes, if I'm the Warriors and I know I'm probably going to face the Lakers in the play-in, I want it to be at home because guess what? Guess who's not good
Lakers
on the road?
Aren't good.
The Lakers.
The Lakers. All right, so there it is.
Okay, finally, Bruce, Clippers. Take on the Suns in Phoenix, bro. Suns have the exact same record as the Frisky Pelicans, who are in 7 while Phoenix is above the play-in fray. So, must win?
Absolutely, for the Suns. Clippers are pretty – they're probably going to stay in the 4th spot, so it's good for them. But, yeah, I mean, you always want to avoid the play-in. Mm-hmm. It's just it's not exactly March Madness, 1-and-done, but it's close enough. All right, and that team we've seen has kind of been up and down. They're playing well lately. So they want to stay above the play-in line. Absolute must.
Yeah, and because the Clippers aren't going to be at full strength, as you can tell from the point spread, this is a definite must-win for Phoenix. If Phoenix loses, that was a bad loss to New Orleans over the weekend. New Orleans had been slumping. Phoenix, in my opinion, didn't come out ready to play in that
game.
Zion
was ready.
And, exactly. Zion was ready. And now all of a sudden, Phoenix is in real jeopardy. After this home game against the Clippers, it is then at the Clippers, at the Kings, at Minnesota. So the Kings in Minnesota will be playing for the Kings. Definitely that game means a lot to Minnesota. That could be Minnesota game 82 for them to get the one seed potentially. So they don't have an easy game remaining. This is probably the easiest against the Clippers in Phoenix when the Clippers are not going to be full strength. So, yes, this is an absolute must-win for Phoenix, or else they're going to drop into the play-in.
Another great must-win segment. Coming up next, King of the Hill. We'll have the butterflies and the grass. These are just delightful. Brew's going to eat yet another cookie.
I mean, Brew is eating a cookie every break.
Live from New York, it's the show that had, I'll be honest with you, three cookies between the two of us to celebrate UConn's victory. Second hour, first things first. Today, are the Huskies already a dynasty and is a three-peat on deck?
Wow.
Wrong maybe. Meanwhile, Lakers-Warriors will have an epic performance against LeBron in a must-win game. Double must-win, according to Brew.
Yep.
But right now, well, it's a sunny day in New York City, and it's time for the most delightful segment in all of sports media. Now, the following is a ranking, and it's a rich tapestry of weekly excellence, historical greatness, and general optimism. It's named after LeBron, and we call it King of the Hill.
Indeed. Great introduction, as always, Kevin Wilds. Much appreciated. First, we want to show you who slid off the hill from last week, and it's four names. Four people, so four new people to the hill. Jalen Green, Ime Udoka basically said your team was not ready and got punked by the Warriors, so you slide off. Cade Cunningham's been out. DeJounte Murray's hot streak ended. And Rudy Gobert made the hill because I was like, you know what? He's the defensive player of the year. He's got to be on the hill. He is no longer the defensive player of the year. More on that later in the hill. Wow. Level seven. Let's talk about the sliders first. Kawhi has missed time. And listen, Dame, I understand it's all part of the Bucks' plan, but there has to be some penalty for the poor play. Domantas Sabonis back on the hill. Jamal Murray back on based on the fact that he is now playing again. He had he finally got back after missing time. Didn't play that well in the game. He was back. Minutes, exactly right. And so if he's playing, he's got to be back on the hill. And Chris Stapps, the third Celtic on the hill for the first time this year. Wow. Shout out Chris Stapps. All right, sixth row. Zion and the Pelicans were slumping a bit, so he drops. Jalen and De'Aaron stay where they are. Listen, the Magic might be the damn 2 seed when it's all said and done. They're fighting for the 3 seed right now with the 2 seed still alive. He deserves massive credit. Paul George, what do you have, a 21-point fourth quarter, had an unbelievable performance without Kawhi Leonard. He's fighting for an All-NBA spot. Shout out to him. And Tyrese Maxey. Maxey might be that. Is the word you taught me, Brew, indefatigable? Like, inexhaustible? I think it is. Like, I was watching him in a game. He played 52 minutes, and he still is just getting to the rim.
Yeah.
Where he scored 52 points, and I think played 52 minutes. Getting to the rim at will. He moves up the hill. Row 5. Listen, Shea is a rightful top 5 MVP candidate, but he's just still out. So he continues to slide while he is out. Anthony Edwards is not playing poorly, but again, he is had nowhere to go but down after he was atop the hill, shockingly, after the greatest dunk in NBA history, according to Kevin Wilds. Durant and Steph stay where they are, and Wimby! Wimby keeps having stat lines no one's ever had before. Brew, however, he is not my defensive player of the year.
Wow.
We will explain in a moment. Fourth row, LeBron. Hey. Spoiler alert, sir. LeBron missed a game, and he's no longer shooting 90% like he was last week, so he drops a bit. Kyrie Irving, hats off, man. He is doing I understand he's still going to end up missing 20-some games this year, but no shenanigans off the court. Great chemistry on the court. Playing winning basketball. You and Luka, I guess we shouldn't be shocked. It took about a year. But it took them about a year to figure out how to best play off each other. The chemistry between you two guys is great. You had a monster game and the great win you guys had after the Exum 3. So he moves up. And Devin Booker ended last week before King of the Hill. He was playing well. He continued it this week. He moves up into the top 10. Budless, that's right, Bruce. Never underestimate the power of the Budless. Third row. All right, again, Giannis, I understand you're like, but I'm doing what coach wants us to. It's a smart thing. I get it, man, but there is a cost. And the cost is you lose 4 in a row, you've lost all week, you slide down the hill. Jalen Brunson, guys, I just want to read you his numbers. This week, played in 4 games. 33 points, 10 assists per game. He's playing 39 minutes a night because Coach Tibbs has never seen a seat he wants him to take. And it's just balling. With or without Hartenstein in the starting lineup, that guy's awesome. Anthony Davis, by the way, he is the defensive player of the year. So the argument is not only the eye test, not only the numbers impact, but also this. I watched the Lakers in a game that he got knocked out of the other night that they expected to have him and they didn't. And guess what? They can't guard anybody. So sometimes your case is made by how you play. Sometimes your case is made by how the team looks without you. And again, they didn't have LeBron either, who obviously is still an excellent defender. However, they have no one on the team that can stop the point of attack or be a rim protector. Anthony Davis, and by the way, offensively, his numbers this week, the averages are brought down because he played 2 minutes or 10 minutes of the one game. But other than that, he was having monster games. All right, top three. Jokic and Embiid is just unbelievable, man. He's 10th in the league in mid-range makes this year. He missed 40 games.
Right. Unbelievable.
And so unbelievable. What he has been doing, his efficiency, he's a two-way player. His offensive numbers are just phenomenal. And I think the Sixers right now are one of the scariest teams in the league because Embiid seems fresh, Maxey's playing great, they're deep.
Yep.
And then still atop the hill, Luka Doncic, who at first I was like, how good was his week? And I'm like, well, 31, 11, and 10 were his averages on 46-42 splits. The team has lost twice in the last month, it feels like. He stays atop the hill, and I understand, Brew, he's not likely to win it.
No.
He has a very legitimate MVP case. Jokic has one as well, but either one of those guys would be justifiable MVPs. That is the king of the hill for the week of April 9th.
It's a very good hill. There is, though, one weakness to the hill.
What?
I'll get to it in my explanation, but I brought it up last week, and I'll do it again this week, but My beef is that Anthony Edwards should move up. And you're right, Jalen Brunson has been terrific, but they've been 2-4. I get it, all the injuries. But I'm switching Anthony Edwards and Jalen Brunson. Edwards should be right up there on that third tier. And here's why. One, I know you're focused on his offense, and this is the weakness of the hill, unless your name's Anthony Davis.
I buy this.
The hill doesn't really care about defense.
No.
Doesn't care at all, unless you want to make a case for Anthony Davis to be Defensive Player of the Year. Because you're just looking at Anthony Edwards' numbers this week, 23 points, 5 dimes, didn't shoot it well.
No.
He's not a great outside shooter. He can get streaky. He's okay.
Yeah.
But that's why sometimes his offensive play fluctuates.
That's correct.
But they are still there right now, this moment, the number one seed in the West, despite Karl Anthony Towns missing the last month. And the main reason, shout out to Naz Reid, who's played really well in Cat's place, but is Anthony Edwards. And here's the thing, Wiles. Not only is he a great offensive player, everybody looks at the dunks, they look at the explosiveness as to why people have compared him to Michael Jordan, but I am looking at the defense. Yeah, the other things are similar too, but this dude is a tenacious defender. And look, obviously Rudy Gobert is the number one reason they have the best defense in the league, but the way he dogs guys on the perimeter is also a factor, and I've got the numbers to back it up. He is top 20 in the league in steals. Okay, that's nothing to shout about, but defensive win shares, third in the league, all right, and he's the only guard in the top 10. You know I'm into the analytics.
But bro,
he's the only guard in the top 10 in defensive win shares.
Yes, it's everyone on
the world. It's not. No, because he's the only guard. They got other guards on
the
world.
Yeah, but
in fact, Mike Conley, who's a very good defender.
He's not playing as many minutes.
Yeah,
Conley's
still
a great defender.
Look, Anthony Edwards is a great defender. If you watch, he's going to be an all-defensive team this year. Trust me. Defensive rating, he's 12th.
That's the wolf.
12th in the league. Hold on. 12th in the league. And he's the only guard in the top 15.
Because he plays his minutes with Gobert.
Because the dude defends.
Okay. I do.
The dude defends. So he's doing it on both ends of the floor. Move him up.
I love Anthony Edwards. And you do make a good point about the Jordan similarities on offense and defense. Because much like Jordan, slightly overrated defender, third best on his own team.
Slightly overrated.
So, I mean, just
it's a media.
What do you mean? That's a media vote. Overrated by the media. And, again, you have Pippen, you have Rodman, you have Ron Harper, who Jordan's guarding. Oh, my God, Harper. Jordan's guarding fourth best guy.
Say Anthony, Ron Harper was better, with the bad knees.
Ron Harper was better. Who was guarding who? Look, watch the tape, Brew. You're too busy. You know what Brew's
doing?
Because
Jordan had to score 45
wild.
Or 87 points.
See, there you go.
Give him a little break.
That's fine. Agreed. Like Anthony Edwards. Well, Brew is out there
Edwards is
looking
a great
up
defender.
Defensive win shares while I'm watching
Edwards
the tape.
Edwards is a great. Now I'm watching the game. Okay, Edwards is a great defender.
All right, Jamal Murray. I'll be honest with you. You know they call me the Mayor Fair all across America.
I like this, Cox.
I got a little bit nervous not having Jamal Murray.
About no one's
real
beating
talk.
Denver?
So I said no one's beating Denver in a 7-game series. I want an asterisk there.
No, you don't get one.
But Hubs told me we can't make asterisks on the thing, so I'm just telling you. Asterisk. Nuggets this season with and without Jamal Murray. Yeah. With, on the court, pretty good. 41-14 record with him.
Wow.
13-10 without. Yeah. Wolves came in. I was like, ooh, we need this one. And no Jamal Murray. Like, not great. Yeah. Playoffs, luckily, obviously, he steps up. So maybe this is like a nice, you know how you're in Embiid theory? You know, a little dip.
Yeah.
And you get rested, and then you come back full strength. Maybe that's what's happening. And one little caveat, Josh said, got smarter, taking more efficient from threes. It's career low threes, but career high percentage. So I like this. I just need his knee to be okay. I still believe in my pick, but we saw, like Anthony Davis, how important he is to the Nuggets.
They go from, and I know Vegas disagrees with us here, but for this show at least, pretty considerable, almost overwhelming favorite to incredibly beatable.
Absolutely.
Based 100%. On Jamal Murray's health. And go ahead, bro.
Well, I was going to say, without Murray, I don't think they win the West.
I agree with you.
The Wolves came in to Denver.
And I'm going to tell you one other thing.
We've seen it in past playoffs.
That if you're, I understand there is a fight in the West right now for the one seed. And I get this, and I understand why. And if you're Denver in particular, because you're so dominant at home, you want it. I would not be thrilled about a round two matchup with Dallas. Dallas right now, and now I know Brew thinks it'll be a round two matchup with his beloved Clippers. I believe Dallas is going to beat the Clippers in round one. Dallas right now feels like a team that could give anyone a ton of trouble. And so you certainly need Jamal Murray at full strength if you're the one seed Denver and you're going to have to deal with Luka and Kyrie. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it'll be high scoring games.
And they're defending now, too. You know, I'm about that defense.
Evidently.
Love the
palms
defense.
Up.
You like Luke, you like Dallas feet. Defending no, all of a sudden?
They are now they with are, Gafford at center.
Not
worried about
Daniel Gafford. Classic two by me, Daniel Gafford. Trade deadline, I mentioned that. Bruce like, Daniel
that?
Gafford's not going to change anything. You're mad about the Lakers.
Not a I don't
Welcome back to the back-to-back champions. UConn grabs their sixth national championship since 1999. Dan Hurley on the podium last night. UConn's been running college basketball. I see all the former champs over there. Shout out to Khalida El-Amin, my quote, not his. And we've been running college basketball the last 30 years. Brew, as the elder statesman of the show, are you willing to admit that North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, Florida, and Villanova are now totally irrelevant and we should all genuflect the altar, the new capital of college basketball, Storrs, Connecticut?
What I'm willing to admit is that it is the capital of college basketball, and that's undeniable. Now, obviously, you got Gino Auriemma with 11 championships in the last 30 years. Okay, so I know they haven't won one since 2015, but still, you got that.
Page is back.
The men have won four titles, Nick, in the last 15 years, six in those 30 years. All right, let's look. And the fact that they've done it with three different coaches, I think just speaks to the quality of, like, the program. It's not just one guy. And usually that's how it goes in college basketball. Sure. A lot of times it's one guy. Let's look at some of the competitors. Or right now, they're top four in all-time championships. All right? Them and North Carolina have six each. Kentucky's got 8. Mm-hmm. UCLA's got 11. Obviously, UCLA has not been a juggernaut program for decades. Their last championship was, 29 years ago for UCLA. All right, so let's scratch them off the list.
Done.
Kentucky, they've got 1 championship in the last 15 years.
Again.
All right, scratch them off the list. And North Carolina won in the last 15 years. So right now, it's no debate.
Well, that part is true. That part's true, but I don't know if that's Wilds' real take. Wilds, right now.
Yeah.
What is the who runs the NFL? What's the capital of the NFL universe?
Well, it's Kansas City.
Okay,
Our adopted hometown.
Right. Is Kansas City one of the blue blood NFL franchises?
No, but angers you.
Hold on. Wait, is Kansas City right now on the NFL franchise Mount Rushmore? No.
No.
Of course not.
No.
So, same with UConn.
Yep. Okay.
So I
do think they're a blue blood.
Do we need to get in? What I'm asking.
So I'll show you the graphic again in a moment. But first, blue blood, I don't think, blue blood, by definition, I don't think there's still entry open. I think blue blood,
So UCLA is a blue blood.
Yes, because blue blood is about history and history only.
Okay.
That's what a blue blood is. Because that's why it's called a blue blood, because it dates back to England. Like, right, that's where we're talking about.
That's what people are thinking when they talk about blue blood.
Yes, but that's a different question than, hold on. Well, that's a different question than the college basketball Mount Rushmore. They're not on it yet.
UConn?
Yeah.
How not?
Okay, so UCLA, Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke. All are better.
That's what it feels like.
So they're all better. Now, I'll give UConn, I'll put UConn ahead of Indiana.
Kentucky should be ahead of
them. I'll put UConn ahead of Kansas. Even though Kansas had Naismith and Wilt, I'll put them ahead of Kansas. But can we go back to the graphic that we had, and I'll tell you why. You said who shouldn't be ahead of them? Kentucky?
Yeah, I think they should be ahead of Kentucky.
So Kentucky,
can stay.
Kentucky's got more
ahead
titles.
Ahead of UConn?
Hold on. They've got more titles and double the Final Fours. Like, what are we talking about?
We're talking about championships.
Right.
And we're talking about recent history.
No,
I want to be ahead of Duke.
Hold on.
Yeah, I mean, put them ahead of Duke, then. Why can't they be ahead of Duke?
So that's where I'm asking. You think that UConn, the question I'm asking is, we're talking right now, yes, right now UConn's ahead of everyone.
But right now is 30 years.
No, for the
last. Not just this year.
Right. And then if we expand that to college basketball as a whole, Duke has been better. I'm not a Duke fan.
Duke wasn't historically great until Krzyzewski got there.
Right, and they have, I don't know if we can show it to you again, they have double the, Final Fours, they have double the championship games, and they have one fewer championship. So then,
at the end of the day,
What should it be?
Okay.
If you don't want it to be Mount the Rings, what do you want it to
be? Consistent excellence.
Oh, give me a break. Excellence. It's just nonsense. If you said that about the Chiefs, you say the Bills are consistently excellent, and you give them no credit. Right. You know why? Because I'm getting real legit mad. Because they don't win, and the Chiefs win.
Yes.
And then UConn wins. It's like, well, UConn has 6, Duke has 5. Like, well, Duke is consistently excellent. Well, then so are the Bills. Okay. Drop the banner.
Okay.
If you beat a team and then you have more than them, you're better.
Okay.
That's how it works.
By that standard.
Yeah.
By that standard. Go. So let's say the same sport.
Yes.
The Celtics and the Toronto Raptors for the last 35 years are exactly equal.
I mean, I hate to say it, they are.
No, but they're not. They're not, though, and you agree.
But hold on, Toronto, that's because Toronto has 1 ring.
Yes, 1-1.
But Golden State, what about Golden State in Boston?
No.
And we're talking about Boston.
No.
All right, you're not talking. No. You mentioned Duke. You're talking about a team that has fewer championships than UConn.
And my question is, you are right, Wilds, that the difference between 0 and every other number is massive.
Yeah.
You're not in the room at 0, which is the Bills.
Sure.
But if you were to say that there is a team that has, and I'm trying to think of a good example of where you have 1 fewer title, but double the awesome seasons, like at what point does...
I'm trying to find one.
Right, and of course you'd be fine with it. The reason that over the last 30 years, everyone would acknowledge that Boston and Toronto, Boston's been far better. It's because Boston has, the NBA doesn't count Final Fours. College basketball, you literally hang banners. They literally hang a banner for the Final Four. Yeah.
And so, a lot of guys ride off that. I mean, yes. There's not a shot, but Syracuse. Jim Boeheim's got one championship. Well, he's a legend because he's been consistently good.
So another,
but I'd rather have the sixth championship.
The sixth and one, of course.
And they're consistently good. We know they missed a few tournaments here and there, but they are consistently good.
But there's another great one that I'll ask you. And I'm trying, like, Tom Izzo. And Michigan State, since he's been there.
I know, I was shocked.
But are they the same? What's a one-off team? I'm trying to think of a one-off national championship.
Virginia.
Yeah, okay, there you go. There you go. Virginia and Michigan State the last 30 years. By your math...
But Virginia's
red-faced and angry.
But you're acting like
they're dead even. What's it gonna be about?
You're acting like UConn is like they either win it or they're horrible.
That's exactly what it is.
No, it's
not horrible. But they have six titles. They have 1 year in their history where they didn't win the title. And they got to hang a banner, won the Final Four. So what I rather...
Yeah, but that, you can still have a good year without getting to the Final Four.
I understand, but what I rather... If you're asking me if I'm a fan of a program over the last 50 years, would I rather have five championships and 12 other seasons where we hung a banner... Or one more championship.
Hanging banners.
I'm saying.
That's a subjective thing.
The whole thing is subjective.
What's not subjective is championships.
Right. So that's why I said it's all count the rings. So everything in sports is count the rings.
If you're good in other years, which UConn is, then they got that and the rings.
Fire it up. Warriors Lake Show tonight in L.A. Brew, we'll start with you. Who has the better game in this double must win?
I think LeBron individually puts up the better numbers. But at the end of the day, I think this is a must-win for both teams, Nick. So whoever wins had the better game. If Steph doesn't have a great individual game, but they win with the stakes as they are, you got to give it to him. But I think LeBron will put up better numbers.
Yeah, I agree, but I'm having a hard time caring.
I'm shocked you don't think this is a big
game. No, I was so excited for it 5 minutes ago.
Watch this.
All day I was looking forward to it.
Watch this.
But Wilds made such a compelling case in the last segment. Like, Brew, do you think the Lakers can win the championship this year?
No.
Do you think the Warriors can?
No.
Then why are they even putting them on TV? Like, I mean, what does it matter? If it's not about – one of my dearest friends just said fire-breathing, red-faced anger. If it's not about championships, what's it about? So why are we even – like, what does it matter?
It's just an exercise.
Real question. Why would they even keep score?
I don't know. According to you, you don't have to. As long as you're trying your hardest. Winning doesn't matter. The wins don't matter.
And so it just feels like a meaningless game. Pointless game. I was so excited to talk about it tomorrow.
You know what? Hang a banner. Another banner in Staples. Speak is up next.